something that has to be changed on what we had previously. And they want us, you know, to look at God and like the agenda says, consideration and approval of the request from the Minister of Environmental Affairs in provision for exclusion from coastal public property in terms of section 274 of the National Environmental Management. As you remember, last time we were dealing with the, there were a lot of things about the coastal lines, etc. Yes, and therefore they are coming with the proposal. This might be a very short meeting, I think.
I don't think it would be short
person. Well, it depends from new members whether you.
No, but the point why I'm raising it is that not something within the
final that you would be calling. Define. Let me welcome the members present here.
Hi.
And let me also mention the apology. Honorable Kronbock will be unable to attend. Where's that list? Mrs. Dulani is unable also to attend. Mr. Kronbock is unable. Mr. Adams, Honorable Adams, is unable to attend as well. But otherwise, we now correct. And we're having with us somebody joining us, and this portfolio is unusual. The person sitting next to me here, she is Daphne Pillay. Her position is content advisor to the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs. This is something new. She will be providing technical assistance to the committee on legislation that is tabled. Identify strategic priorities for the committee. Assist one chairperson with drafting budget. Compiling information for the members' attention. Well, others are experienced, worked at Gauteng Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Environment, South African National Biodiversity Institute, that experience. This is a new position created probably within the committee section, am I correct? So, I am introducing the lady to the committee to know that she will be with this committee as long as this committee exists during this term, and she will be continuing again in the next term. And we want to welcome her so that she will be able to contribute to what, you know, this committee. Is the committee welcoming her? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And again, as we were
struggling, I'm
sorry.
When is the welcoming function?
Well, we will arrange one. I hope it will work. But again, we're having an email here that says committee funds are no longer there. And therefore, we will not be provided with full-fledged breakfast like it was the case. In the past, it will only be tea, coffee, and juice, plainly like that. And there won't be lunches also organized for us. Probably it's for what's the end of this term. We hope things in the new term will come back to normal. And therefore, again, as we were struggling to correct this morning, maybe it was good to struggle, so that I went to the chief of the office, where I found out that procedures were not followed. If the minister and the department find out that there's something that they have to take up with any committee within the NCOP, obviously they have to consult with the political head within the institution, so that before they come to us, proper procedures have been followed. And therefore, if they come to us, I thought, I was under the impression that procedures have been followed, whereas it is not the case. And the chief whip has just alerted me that this is uncalled for. It will be very difficult for us then to continue with this meeting. Moreover, that you know that this bill had problems in the past. There was consultation, there was properties that, you know, could be sold, whatever. And there's a range of coastal, you know, coastal communities or coastal issues that has to be considered. And therefore, if the chairperson of the NCOP was not informed about this, then it will be difficult for this committee to continue. What are you having there?
Is it to the chairperson of the NCOP, from the department signed by the minister?
Well, I am not sure. Mrs. Oliphant, is it possible for you to come in here? Let's hear Honourable Council.
I just want to check what items the agenda are within now.
There, you have the agenda in front of you, Honourable Member, and that is the issue. This consideration approval of the request from the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism for exclusion from coastal public sector in terms of second and third. That's the agenda point.
Oh, okay, it's a temperature. Why I was raising this, I thought you were still making opening remarks. Because then, if we are on that agenda, I'll propose that we allow the department to make its presentation. Then we'll take measures from there after the presentation. The very same issues you are raising.
Okay, so you're proposing.
I'm not sure, unless you want to rule that we close the meeting before they make the presentation.
Yeah, well, I have no problem, but because the chief whip was saying the procedure we are following is not correct. And that's why I'm mentioning it to the committee. If the committee feels that we allow the department to brief, there's no problem. And thereafter, then we could decide if the committee so feels.
Yeah, I think let's allow that chair to just have a dialogue. Because normally, like, let's say they make a pre-community, they will also say in the background what steps they follow and so on. Then after they've made that, it's where we have to make the because I also have got certain questions and concerns
okay.
But maybe if we allow them part of those concerns, you might get the responded to. Those which will not be responded to, we still follow up on the
All right. No. And that's why I'm putting it to the committee, so that the committee agrees which direction to take. I have no problem with that. We are all agreeing that we listen to them, and then we could engage later. Agreed? We You are welcome, and we, without much ado, we create space for you to brief the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of protest, the first thing we need to address is that we can later see it on the committee. There may be some misunderstanding, but there was this was pushing from the table, which can be a letter even to the document that the entire the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, signed by the Minister, they can go up to 3,000,000. So that's a long cut book. The letter was accompanied by a parliamentary memo as well as a decision by the minister. So the NCOP has been briefed on this matter, and that was the understanding from which we've come before the first committee. We can revisit this after we've done the presentation, if you want to deal with the application. It was also the agencies and the question of the committee formally. The matter was appropriately dealt with, or we thought it was. Moving on to what the purpose of the meeting, we've given up the entire presentation, which is like the committee members to look at. And I want to start off by saying that we are in an unfortunate position of not having a copy of the Act. We've been trying to get a copy of the Act from Parliament and have been unsuccessful. So, like you, we will be forcing you to adopt the de-version of the bill as a source of reference, even though we thought the bill has proposed an Act. It was for the benefit of the members signed and presented to by the President on the 11th of February of the it is no longer the Act being voted. We all are aware of the history of the Act being voted as the committee has been promised last year. So what is...
So the
Parliament
doesn't have...
Okay. We don't have a copy of the Act. Parliament is... we're waiting for a copy from Parliament. It's not yet funded. It is Act number 24 of 2008.
Okay.
The reason that we are here is to talk to a decision in terms of the Act. We have a situation where, and I'm going to revisit the history of what happened with Transnet and the court, and you remember there was a whole debacle that everybody was struggling with last year, and there was a frenzy around the court, and we were engaged in sometimes very robust discussions about court. I want to thank the full picture for the select committee because we didn't have the benefit of some of the debates that had happened prior to the coming to the committee. The debates that happened in the portfolio committee where the whole issue of Transnet started. The portfolio committee held public hearings, and at that stage, Lipschultz, which is the company that bought the VNA and Transnet, had come before the portfolio committee and attempted to have the VNA excluded from the ICM Act and the bill as it was at that stage. Of course, there was a lot of opposition to this. The department put its position clear, and there were debates. In fact, there was senior counsel coming to argue on behalf of Lipschultz and Transnet, and the department all made representations to the portfolio committee. And essentially, the idea of excluding the VNA was obviously not acceptable, and it was not accepted by the portfolio committee at the time. The issues that were contentious at the time was that the courts that were under the jurisdiction, now we've got two issues, we've got the issues of jurisdiction, and we've got the issues of ownership, which are different. The jurisdiction of the court under Transnet at the time involved large extended areas. If you recall, there was a whole issue about not trying to Northern Ireland, because there were huge extended areas in all the different ports, Cape Town, Durban, all the nine ports, Port Elizabeth, where there were unacceptable tracts of sea that fell under Transnet's jurisdiction, which they wanted excluded. At the time, we didn't have what is called the footprint of the port. The footprint of the port is the actual confined port area where vessels come in and where they do, where Transnet and port does what they're actually supposed to do. And we said the department's position was we cannot possibly consider any exclusion, any exception of such extended areas. You need to come to us with confined port ordinance, and secondly, you need to explain to us exactly how you think the ICM vote or the ICM ATLA is going to impact on your ability to perform your mandate on port in terms of your legislation. And it took a long time before we gained a proper understanding of that. There was a lot of discussions between Transnet and the department. And ultimately, when we were approached by the Department of Public Enterprises, who houses through the department ultimately in charge of Transnet, we make actual headway on understanding the problem. So what the portfolio committee did at that stage was they refused to make an exception of the VNA. They refused to make an exception. But what they said was there may be legitimate reasons to want to exclude those of the public property. And if this happens, we need to create a mechanism to allow this, because legislation has to be flexible. So their answer to this was to include at the time a clause in the bill, clause 27.2-4, which would then allow for exclusion from coastal public property by the minister or through ratification of parliament. I want to take you just for a second through the bill. If you look at clause 27, this committee then endorsed the amendments proposed by the portfolio committee. These amendments were, if you look at 27.2, and I'm going to read it, it says, the minister may exclude any area from coastal public property for government purposes by proclamation. Now, if it is for government purposes, then the minister has the administrative power to exercise this discretion. In Article 3, it says, before excluding any area from coastal public property in terms of subsection 2, the minister must consult with interested and affected parties. So the minister then has to follow a consultation process and then only may be excluded from coastal public property. Then you go to 4. If you look from 2 to 7 are all the clauses that were introduced. Sub-clause 4 says, the minister may exclude any area from coastal public property for any other purpose with the ratification of parliament. Now, remember, what we really have to look at is what is government purposes and what is other purposes. And this becomes a bit tricky. As 5 deals with what happens to land once it's excluded from coastal public property and information and those kind of things. I want to take you to clause 7, which defines what government purposes mean. For the purpose of this section, government purposes mean the exercise of functions by an organ of state that are in the national interest or the interest of national security, but does not include donation. So in other words, if you want to take that coastal public property, you're going to give it away. You're going to come to Parliament first. Leases of more than 20 years. And if you're going to exclude from public property, coastal public property, and lease that land to private individuals for 90 years, you're not going to be able to do this unless Parliament says it's okay. Or alienation by that organ of state. Again, if you want to sell off that land, you've got to come to Parliament. Now, this ratification is the reason that we are sitting here today. And one of the arguments that you're going to think of is, sure, it's Transnet. They want to operate port. Why then is it not government purposes? And the reason that it's not government purposes is because Transnet has to enter into long-term leases in order to fund the port infrastructure. So, for them to get loans from the bank, for them to get people that are interested in investing in long-term proposals there, they're going to have to lease that property for longer than 20 years. That then takes it outside of the scope of government purposes. Therefore, because it is not government purposes, we have to come to Parliament in order to exclude. Before we get to what that exclusion is, I'm trying to explain the background of us having this decision and this decision, to ask the committee to make the decision on the exclusion. If you look at the next page of the presentation, the ICM Act creates, and this, for a lot of you, this is going to be the decision because we've been through this ad nauseum. When this was brought before the committee, it creates total public property, and this property can't be owned, and it is held in trust by the state. And it, what does it include? It includes, in a nutshell, the seashore below the high water mark, so anything from the high water mark onwards, so you can have the beach area as well. And it includes all port areas at the moment, because the ports are square in the middle of the sea. And it could all be up below the high water mark. And the use of total public property would be subject to leases by the beach minister, the environmental affairs, the tourism minister. Now this is fine if we are talking about areas that are outside of the control of another government department. In this instance, it is a government entity, Transnet, or the National Ports Authority. The National Ports Authority have to use the space for a legitimate reason. They have to use the sea for a legitimate reason. Now, the fact that it falls under the net of coastal public property makes it slightly difficult for them, and it took us a long time to be convinced that the bill actually did have some impact on their port operations. This is what they told us, and this is when DPP approached the department, and they illustrated the following. The National Ports, the TNPA Center, the Transnet National Ports Authority, are unable to enter into the long-term financial leases to fund their port infrastructure. These kinds of financial leases serve as security for long-term financial loans, which they then get from the bank. Right? But if you look at Section 65 and 66 of the Act, it puts a cap on a maximum of 20-year leases. They need leases for up to 60 years in order to be able to get that money to fund it. The current loans that they have based on those areas are also being pulled up by the financial institutions. All the leases within the port fall under the deep minister and they compromise port operations and their income. Because remember now, any lease on total public property has to now come to the deep minister, and the deep minister must lease it. Transmit is operating as a business enterprise for government to develop ports. Their financial institutions are not interested in our laws, and they're not interested in whether our minister is going to intervene or not. They just look at it as a threat. They say, our transaction is with you. If you can't give me security that you have control of this area, I'm pulling out. Their bottom line is profit. Unfortunately, Transnet has to do this because they have financial commitments and they have to be able to develop ports within the confined port areas, not up to Robben Island. By any stretch of the imagination, we'll come back to that. They have to be able to operate effectively to complete their mandate in terms of the National Ports Act. We have, to that extent, the minister, in considering their application, there's an ROB, which is part of the document fact, where the minister explains what his thinking is in how he considered this matter and what are the things that he's looked at in order to give a justified analysis of the situation and the decision. I just want to read some of this out to you. The DPS admitted that the inclusion of port areas as part of total public property could have significant impact in that the National Ports Authority currently have leases that are for periods of up to 99 years. This is on page 2 of the ROD. Some of the infrastructure reportedly has a lifespan of 60 to 100 years, and in order to obtain funding from the infrastructure, they may need to be able to enter into long-term leases to secure funding from financial institutions. These institutions conduct their own due diligence, and any uncertainty that may constitute unacceptable risk may lead to the non-approval of loans. This creates uncertainty, and therefore there is a risk pertaining to the guarantee of funding to service loans. It may therefore have one of the following impacts. The National Ports Authority will be unable to secure funding for essential port development due to the risk and the uncertainty. And the lifespan of port infrastructure can be from 60 to 100 years, and currently loans may be at risk of being pulled up. The there was a another concern. They had committed quite a substantial amount of money to future port development over the next 5 years, which is to the tune of some 80 billion, which is also an important consideration in not creating this scenario thing. What the department then said is fine, we understand this to be a real problem and the idea is not to be unreasonable towards you. But we cannot, by any stretch of imagination, allow an exclusion of such large areas. We then forced Transnet to give us for ordinance, and we had, and that's why Dr. Malala was present, who is going to take us through the process of actually confining these areas and how we came up with the map. We will find it. Attached to your presentation a set of maps. Those maps, at the moment, determine what these confined areas were. These areas were much larger than that. We're dealing with, in Cape Town alone, the Cape Town harbor unit is 92 square kilometers, stretching from Robben Island to Melbourne Strand to the lighthouse. These are unacceptable areas to be excluded from the public property. And there is no justifiable reason for a court to have that entire area excluded. They still have the jurisdictional function there, but they still have to be subject to the ICM Act. So please, and I need you to mind that these confined court areas, these footprint court areas, which are being proposed as being excluded from coastal public property, are not excluded from the Act. They're just excluded from the extent of coastal public property to enable Transnet to do their job. But they would then still be subject to the other environmental legislation. They still have to get dumping permits when they want to do dredging. They still have to do EIAs when they want to do any activities in those areas. So Transnet then, the department agreed to do this, the minister did this ROD, and Transnet, after Transnet submitted a formal application for the exclusion of the confined port. I've explained to you what is on the following side, on the following page, which says exclusion options, the government purpose issue and other purposes, and why Parliament has to look at this exclusion, and the Minister can't do it by himself. The Minister has, in accordance with the ROD and the memos that you see attached in your fact, made a decision to exclude from the public property, confined all port areas. Now, these are not extended areas, as I mentioned before. It is a port footprint where actual port activity happens. And this is based on the negative impact on that I alluded to earlier on the financial security and the leases. And ports must also comply with other provisions of the ICM Act, other environmental or EIA dumping permits, etc., which they will subject to. The decision is now before this committee to consider. And what the department is asking is in order to facilitate so that we don't allow this act to hamper legitimate business and legitimate operations, the minister decided to exclude the very limited port areas as contained in the map, and Dr. Malone will take you through that in a second. And we appealing to this committee to ratify the decision of the minister to exclude in this confined way and this limited way, so as not to curtail the function of any particular government department or entity. That's the brief explanation of what we actually coming for. I'm going to ask Dr. Milan to take you through. You've got copies of these maps, which are separate attachments to your presentation. Yes. The map goes through each of the four to explain to you the coordinates and how those were arrived at, by discussion between the department, Dr. Neil Milan, our people that were dealing with the coordinates, and Transnet, who then the Transnet technical people who helped to continue to compile them. If I could then hand it over to Dr. Milan.
Thank you, Jay. Since I've stepped back, we've had a long discussion. Let me just, the way I understand it, when we started this coastal world, we never had the intention of including ports, in other words, between the breakwaters as part of the world. But we sat with a bit of a problem. And if you look at this map, for example, this is Cape Town. You would see that the extended port areas, for example, in Cape Town, go right up to Robben Island and Melbourne.
So this is a reserved port area. And we could not, and it's similar for all the ports along the coast. If you add this up, it's about 1,000 square kilometers and about 7% of the coast. We just could not exclude that from the provisions of the ICM law. So the only option we had was to include everything as part of the, now the ICM Act, including the ports. What we are now really saying is, okay, now we're just going to exclude the little areas between the breakwaters as well as the access canal that needs to be dredged. So we sat down with Transnet, we sat down with DPE, and we agreed, well, this is going to be part of the coastal bill. But we will now look at, just for operational reasons, excluding these smaller areas. And that is really what we're trying to do. This is an example of one of the maps that I looked at. I scrutinized it in detail, and one of the things that I specifically looked at was access for the public. Where it was unclear, I said I want notes added to the map to make sure that people can access that piece of code. So in 20 years' time, it's very clear where people can move and where they can't move. I'm now happy that we have incorporated all that detail in the amended map. And those are the amended maps here. Obviously, you cannot see it very easily, but that will specify every single point on these little maps. So really, in summary, just to say, what we are asking for is just to exclude the areas within the port. And that is just for operational reasons, and to make sure that people do not withdraw their money, and then the whole operation of Transnet collapses. I can add to that if necessary, but in essence, that's what you're trying to say.
Thank you very much. That's the input you had. So it is now for the members to engage for clarity and to look into the entire subject. Another one.
Thank you, I've got a serious problem here. If you look at the legislation that they gave to us, the Forest Public Committee during public hearings had a problem with this thing. Of the exclusion of the DNA waterfront, specifically. Now what we are actually are doing here now is overruling that problem that the Portfolio Committee has, and I think our committee also has to see, by now bringing in a new definition, which I haven't heard before. It's now called what Francis calls, let me just get my things right, exclude confined port area. Now, this is a new definition, a confined port area, which includes the VNA front. If you look at that map,
Alright, give him chance to talk. After I have spoken, then you will be able to come in.
We are actually going back on our own decision if we agree to this. And my question is, did they discuss this with the Portfolio Committee already? Because why did they come to us first? Isn't the Portfolio Committee also have an input in the... Because I'm afraid that the way I see it now, and I can be convinced otherwise, that we actually are going back on what we are saying, because we are now trying to include the VNA front, because they made a mistake in the lead. And I cannot, for one reason, buy the fact that they have problems in obtaining loans of 80 billion. My understanding that Stanley and Morgan credit rating for Transnet is a AAA. The fact that they that is based on current leases. Now credit, and that is one of the best credit ratings that you have. So they argument that they are battling to get funding for it does not hold water. But at the current credit rating of Stanley and Morgan, they can get it. So by extending this or excluding this, are not going to increase credit rating to a plus 8 or whatever the next higher. So those two things doesn't make sense to me.
Let the other member talk. You come in, Honourable Renfrew.
Yeah, it's a thank you, Sir. Yeah, I think the point of the process and procedure they tried to respond to it, maybe it's a matter of involvement between the offices of the chapter and the chief with the correspondent to be open up in terms of alliance, but maybe copies of those that are really necessary. My must be made available to the office of the chief with immediate reference. Because that all of us will use the same reference. I brought a set of questions, Chapter 7. I see our learned officer earlier by speaking in part of participating in that's why I can't even wait for even Mr. Van Rooyen to finish what he was saying. Very eager in Asia. Of course, the committee will take a decision, but you are not yet to the right. We know that you are actually so election. Because the matter I think was talking about the ceremony from there, so also giving the testimony from Mr. Van Rooyen to election. Because, like one of the first questions one would ask is that are we all the 8 or 9 courts who are speaking about it? All have been contractual occupation. Because the motivation is that some of the contracts or funding might be disinvested. So if it's not all of them, why do we even include those which are not bound by any contract? Because I think we should be specific to those which are within certain contracts. Which you said they might be called up if we don't ratify it and so on. So we would like to get the list of that, which courts are affected, which are not affected. Secondly, what's the average of the duration of those contracts or leases? Because here we need to deal with something which is beyond 20 years. Those 60 years or 99 years and so on, we need that information to update. And also the implications of that. The recent was speaking about also this global decision which is taking place and so on. What will be its impact in terms of Transnet honoring some of these contracts? We've seen some of the other suppliers, they are people of Transnet, you are SAA suffering and so on. The balance sheet of Transnet might not be as much as it may end up leading to us losing some of the vital land as a country. And what size of land are we speaking about? We can't just buy for the say we want to buy. But what hectares of land are we speaking about? Because to me, all coastal land, fine land. The other issue here I will raise. That's why I said we don't also have to be right. Because you'll remember, when we passed this act, unfortunately the department, which is custodian of the act, which was attended by the president, is still having a bill. I think someone must also be held accountable for that. We can't be sitting in the parliamentary committee. When we passed a bill, which is supposed to come as an act, not only to the committee, but to the public at large. Because you can't say you are referring to an employer of the ministry. It's just an indictment to our democracy. It was passed with the Section 76 of the Constitution, which will say to us, being a responsible committee of the National Council of Provinces, we might need to bounce this with some of our provinces, specifically those coastal provinces, because they are going to be affected. So we can't just sit here in this courtroom and just make decisions without ensuring that the democratic principle of consultation takes place and so on. that what we could say, we will not see ourselves making any final decision in this meeting without having to look into some of the implications and so on. I think it could also be reflected in your presentation. It's not only the portfolio committee which was concerned about that issue. Also, it was the same position as the president.
Sure.
We're very much against, you know. Well, it should not be put as if we're suited to those proposals. We're also against those proposals. I know we have got some tired today. So we make an objective decision without being into it. Because at the end of the day, while Transnet is there and also GIT is there, the land is belonging to the state. Well, what has been the consultation also like the public works department and also the Department of Energy? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Anybody wants to come in before Honorable Oliphant?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would agree with the Honorable Minister that firstly, we can't propose amendments based on the final version of the bill. We have to await and get the correct document, which would be the act that has been signed by the President. And number two, Chair, now maybe I'm not familiar with the coastal issue, but I'm really having a little bit of a worry because in Belgium, in Natal in particular, I heard about the expansion of the country. Now, of which it means then if the country is going to be expanded, therefore the whole coastal of Operation Bay is going to be excluded from the target. And but lastly, I think one we need to say, okay, my question would be whether the department has discussed the issue with the affected provinces. Because if not, I think when we've got the copy of an act that will be amending if provinces do give us those amendments, then we have to take the very same route to consult with our provinces because we can't just take the decision without consulting with them. So, and I'm also really worried because right now, the committees that are here are the only committees that are dealing with the election, and everybody is dealing with the elections now. So I would propose that for now, really, we defer the issue back and wait for the act, and then we propose the amendment according to the act that has been enacted by the president, and then whenever you got that act, whether it's before or after elections, then we take it from there.
Thank you very much. If there's nobody else, then we could allow you to come in. I think you have heard what
thank you.
I think
it's happening. Thank you. I apologize for our zealous trying to cut in earlier. It's really because we were really quite anxious because the VNA is particularly excluded from the confined port area, and I'd like the honourable member to be appeased. Honourable Van Rooyen is concerned, and he's raised a very legitimate concern. There's two issues. There's the one with the issue of the contractual obligations of the VNA, which is what actually was a catalyst for us considering this thing. That's
sure.
Not the main issue.
Sure.
The VNA thing is a separate thing. VNA does not form part of this port footprint. They are outside of it. In fact, they're busy lobbying with us at the moment to come to Parliament again for another exclusion for their contract. And we say, listen, that you're going to deal with, because they know now that the act, that the act is coming into effect, and they're concerned that the issue is not covered by the bill or the act at the moment. So the VMA area, and Dr. Malan is going to plot out on the map. I think it's a confusion on the map. So look at your map print out, to take some point, and Dr. Malan will describe you exactly the areas in the Cape Town Port area, so that you can see that the actual VMA is completely excluded from this particular area.
The VMA area is this green area. The area that we want to exclude falls inside this gray area. So we specifically did not include the VMA.
So it's a wharf area.
It's basically the area between the main waters and then a little entrance canal where it is coming. So the V&A cannot form part of this exclusion. They would have to come back to Parliament if they so wish. After they've done EIA and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the V&A issue, to address your direct concern there. With regard, and it came up with the other honourable members inquiring about the rest of the report, and this is what I need to explain to the committee. This is not about contractual obligations on, like, similar to what the Les Shell and Transnet got into on VNA. This is about that issue actually alerted us to the fact that there's a larger problem, and that's on the problem of port operations. Not contractual obligations to other parties for development, but port operations and development of port infrastructure within the, and that's where the confined port area comes in. You're talking about the jetties, the wharfs, the areas where the vessels are coming into berth, and ports have a duty to ensure that they've got sufficient space for vessels coming in. And now that there's all this piracy happening on the high seas, Cape Town and our ports are becoming, are getting heavier traffic. So they have to now make provision for that kind of traffic. It's that kind of development that you're talking about. So we're not interested in Durban Point and their buildings that they want to put up. We're not interested in VNA and what developments they're doing there. If they want to exclude that, they must come to Parliament separately. We are only talking about that area of the port where Transnet and honourable member, it is actually the seat. It's part of the seat, not land. Dr. Mulan can explain to you what areas we're talking about. When we're talking about exclusion, we're talking about just this part in the sea where ships are coming into berth, and where National Port Authority has to have their presence, and where they have to do things in an unrestricted way. So they don't have to run to the department every time they must do something that they must do on a daily basis in the port. It's got nothing to do with the land. It's got to do with the port operation in that area. The extended areas we were talking about is sea. Remember this, it's difficult to notionally distinguish between sea and land. This is sea that has got jetties on it or has got partially built up and reclaimed land and it's become land now, but it was all part of the sea. So it's just that area that we're talking about. With regard to the question, I've made a list, if I've missed out anything, we'll revisit it. From my recollection was, why did we come to this relationship first? Again, on process, we sent letters to both speakers, and we were granted this, we were given a schedule, attend this meeting first. I was also quite surprised that it was relationship first. But I suppose one of the reasons is possibly because it's not like legislation within an order. It's two separate houses considering it separately. So the select committee is free to make their decision irrespective of what the portfolio committee says, as they always are. But we do have a meeting scheduled with the portfolio committee, which is going to happen this afternoon. It was initially scheduled for tomorrow in terms of the program, but it's being moved to today. So yes, we will be talking to the portfolio committee about this issue. There was another question on, just to come back to the nine courts, why all nine courts? And I tried to address that earlier. It's not because of the contractual obligations that nine courts have. So all of the courts, every single court has to operate as a court. And the reason that this exclusion is happening is that we don't hamper the legitimate operations of the court. So So it's very, the DNA actually just alerted us to the problem which we would never have thought about. We would have thought about it after that we commence and it may have been more difficult then to resist it. The duration of the contract and leases. It's not contractual obligations of lease. These are, it's a principle of them having, it's in the court where they get into, where they contract with people who hire space there in the court. And they give them certain financial undertakings. We don't have the information on what their current contracts and leases are, but we can get that information if that's required of the committee. We call the commission if they wish to speak to Transnet about this or to DTC. But our point is, the issue is not around those contractual obligations. The issue is around the operation of port. That is purely why we are proposing, why we are considering acceding to the exclusion. The DDG will also add, perhaps in the coming now, there's something.
Okay, I think the principal reason for the exclusion is the economics involved. Leases are working in South Africa and it has a huge impact in terms of their ability to work on a daily basis. If they're not allowed to do that, it's going to impact on our economy in a big way. And I think.
Yes. It would mean that they would have to come to the minister to lease that space all the time. But then they're going to enter into subleases with these other people. So it means either then, and the administrative burden for these then to administer leases on that scale is also something that one has to consider in terms of implementation of the tax. So there's all these practical, it really is practical problems that we're trying to alleviate here. There was a question on the process, and we have the greatest respect for the processes that the committee has to follow, and we're not trying to impact on that at all. If it needs to go to the provinces, then it must go to the provinces. Because even though it's not a bill, it's something that impacts on the provinces and your mandate you get from them. So it might mean that your processes have to be followed, and that's understood. But in any event, what we're coming here is to discuss the concept with you so that you can then follow your processes and make an informed decision. I seem to acknowledge that the select committee was against this as well, and I'm sorry that I failed to mention it. The context in which I mentioned this was in the context of the amendments that were proposed by the portfolio committee. Just to give that background. And I will add in the presentation that the select committee had the same view, because otherwise we would not have been sitting with the bill as it is today. There were other concerns raised by Honourable Member Olson, if I correctly recall. Based on proposed amendments and waiting for the bill to be an act, I would like to clarify that. This is not an amendment of the act. The act is already an act. We don't have to wait for it to become an act. The only thing we don't have is the copy that says act. There is one copy of the act where it calls it an act instead of a bill. But the content is exactly the same as the bill. We're not proposing any changes to it. So there's no need for us to wait for it to become an act because it already is one. On the expansion of Richards Bay, Dr. Milan will address that issue, please.
My understanding was that there was concern if we exclude these areas from coastal public property that we're going to restrict access from the public to enter that, and that is not the case. In fact, we're trying to improve access, and when I adjusted the actual coordinates, that's what I tried to achieve. So the bill allows for access, and by excluding this, it's not going to impact on people's access. It will be as per normal. We know that access to ports are controlled in certain ways, and whatever decision is made here will not affect it.
I think we've covered most of the issues. There's just one provision of the bill I'd like to bring to your attention, which seems to be, it says, when we talk about coastal leases and coastal concessions on coastal public property, they're subject to section 67 and 95, which is temporary 67 deals with temporary occupation of land within the coastal zone, and 95 is a transitional provision. Subject to these provisions, no person may occupy any part of, or site on, or construct or erect any building, road, barrier, or structure on or in coastal public property, except under and in accordance with the coastal lease awarded by the Minister in terms of this chapter. Now, this is one of the clauses that Transnet is concerned about. They're saying that this limits their ability, and the Natural Force Act does give them certain powers to be able to freely contract and to be able to freely do things. And what the RTM Act is doing is containing that power. And there's nothing wrong with that if it works properly. But our concerns are that we're dealing with if the deed minister has to now take over leases of course of a government business enterprise and administer those leases and be responsible for the work that port does, we feel that it's an overlap of functions and mandates. And it may create uncertainties and complications that are not necessary. As Dr. Milan pointed out earlier, initially when this bill was drafted, before it became an act, before it was close to becoming an act, we never envisaged including ports at all. In fact, ports were going to be excluded. They would have been excluded had they looked like they look in these diagrams. The only reason they came within this net of coastal public property was because there were these huge areas that were under port. Now we've restricted it, and we've gotten them to have a decent area for operations that can be excluded. And had this been the case in the first instance, the bill would have excluded it to begin with. That's the only reason that we're sitting here now.
Just lastly, just to mention that obviously by excluding it, as Ketra-Zak said earlier, from coastal public property, they still need to comply with all the other legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to do, let's say they want to make an island in the middle of the harbor, they will still have to do an EIA. They will still have to go come back to our minister to reclaim that land. If they then want to lease that land or donate it to a developer, they will still have to go back to Parliament.
There
are two things here. I noticed that our new colleague has got a copy of the Act at 24. Obviously, drawn from the internet as the Gazette Act. I'm surprised that you didn't get it.
It was very difficult to get. I had to get it from the
Well, most things you might have difficult. The other point that I'd like to raise here is the example of Cape Town Harbour, which did extend up to Robben Island. Now I know nothing about harbours and ships, but I can see ships anchoring in that area before they come into the port, also in Durban. Isn't that going to now have an impact on the control that the harbors have on ships in waiting? If they don't have the control over that area, I don't know.
I'm sorry. Honorable Ventura.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think my other question would be instant. Financial business. Because somewhere in the presentation, there is a slide which speaks about PNCA unable to enter into long-term financial business and so on. And the other bullet says current loans are at risk of being called up. Yeah, because that's why I'm saying we need a mix of those ports which have these loans. One, list of those costs, where there is a list of the loans to be called up, what are the amounts involved, and the years of those contracts and so on. Is it 99 years, is it, or is it least until the second coming? The other one, just get a list of those costs, which are not part of any contractual or what the system for them. So that will also assist the link up with our counterparts in the provincial legislation and so on. so that we can address to say you can make an input here. So I know myself and the wife, we are coming from England, but we are both South African, and we are concerned about what has happened in our country. But the other one was also, it's upon the point of the, you see at times you don't have scientists in coming here, they only speak about the water, the sea, not the land. It's because if you speak about port operation, as much as they are saying traffic is increasing, you will need to drain some of the land there, so on. Because these cannot come and say they only exclude the sea. If someone does mining or other activity on the land below the water, then that's not accepted and so on. Because I was referring to say what area I was speaking about. So let's have that side of the area. I don't think technically qualified as you are, you can say to give us what size of the land or the area we're speaking about. We still need that to know. So that if we pass this thing, we know what land, whether land or the area we're speaking about. So we still need that capability to come to the community. The other one, I don't think it was responded to. Maybe transfers which should come in here. But are we foreseeing any indication which might put some of these contracts that the risk to the global and so on? I don't think that's going to be important. Because to me, that was an impact which was talking about. I may not be an economist, but it might also affect some of these interests.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Van Rooyen, then Honourable Bell.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what for me to feel comfortable on this, because I raised the question is the rationale behind this is to, for their ability to raise capital in the open market. That's not the main thing to me, because they already got a very good credit rating in Stanley and Morgan. But what I would like to know from the department or Transnet or wherever, what will the impact on the credit rating in if you raise capital in the open market if this is not approved? Because my understanding at the moment they got a plus double A and triple A rating, which is one of the best ratings you can get in raising capital in the open market. I'm trying the argument of this is impacting on the ability to raise funds. That's not how water would be. Unless I can be convinced that this will in fact either better their credit rating, I cannot see the rationale behind the scene. But then the first one. The second point, if they can just also then try and define the concept of extremely confined port areas, because now my understanding now is that a confined port area includes jetties, wharves, cranes, you know, the area where the cranes are, stacking area for containers and warehousing areas. Is that my understanding? But I think we need to understand that concept and that definition of what is a confined for thank you.
No, thanks, sir. I hope that I won't be taking the meeting back. But I think mine is just a simple question which builds on what other members have raised. For us to have dealt with the bill then, there was a very strenuous process that we had to undergo. And I remember the last meeting where we even tried to mediate between Transnet and the department, for which in that meeting Transnet did not pick up. And the information we were given was such that Transnet in actual fact agreed with the proposal as presented. Now what comes to my mind is what has changed. Maybe I might be taking the meeting backwards. My apologies, because I had to attend another meeting since before this one. But what is critical to me, what has changed? because by then everything was okay with everything as we have today before us, as it is now.
Yeah, thank you very much. I also think that maybe at a particular point the department was also not clear. They are busy researching and discovering other things. And that's why they are coming to the fore at this point in time, really. I don't know whether you're lobbying the committees, really, but I think the committees are in their right, really, to be much more sensitive now. Even more than before when we were, you know, talking to you and the Transnet supposed to have been there did not come, as my colleague is saying. But it raises a lot of doubts what is happening here. And if this is the cloud that is hanging above us, how clear are the facts now? Will you, after some time, come back again and say we have discovered new facts? It makes the members much more sensitive, more than ever before. And that's why, as they are rightfully saying, we should be moving back to provinces, because we must engage as many stakeholders as possible, so that when this matter comes to rest, there are no other hidden issues that may come or arise. I saw two hands in the front. Oh, okay, Honorable.
Okay, I want to say from a personal point of view, I don't understand our concern about hidden agendas, because the Act in 27, 2 and 4 makes it very clear that these things can happen, but with the approval of Parliament. And what the Department is seeking is the approval. The fact that we have to go back to our provinces, I agree with. But I really don't see anything sinister. I just want to put that on the table.
I think this is a very reasonable concern, and the department has to explain the context in which this is happening, because I mean last year, and I understand the concern of the honourable members, because last year we came here kissing and screaming against Transnet. How are we coming here all of a sudden and saying, okay, I'll pass this to this is where, I tried to explain it in the beginning, and I'm sorry, maybe I've been talking too much about this, so I'm getting tired of it, so I'm missing certain essential things. What happened was, Transnet, there were two entities we dealt with. We dealt with Transnet and we dealt with DPE, public enterprises. Our interaction with Transnet was very unsuccessful, let's put it that way. We were not making headway with them in any discussions, because Transnet was taking a very robust approach. We want you to exclude all our ports from closing public property. Now, when they come to us with that attitude, there was no way we could accommodate that with any reasonable thinking. They weren't in reasonable coming to the table to say, this is what, this is what we need, this is how you're affecting us, can't we talk? They just said, we need all these extended port areas excluded. That was the resistance that the department met, that the committee's business, and the committee were also part of. Subsequent to that, we kept on saying, and in various forums, we kept on saying, come to us with coordinates and show us how this vote is really impacting on you. Then perhaps we can consider it and see whether there's some merit in what you were saying. Eventually, DPT, who is the mother body, the mother department of Transnet, approached the department. And when they started talking to us, they came from a different angle and they started unpacking things and making us see certain practical implications which we didn't see before, simply because our interaction with Transnet was just really not very productive. So when DPT came to us and they said, listen, this is the thing. The thing is, we should forget about VNA, forget about these contractual things. We're worried about how this bill is going to impact on how we work in court. Now, I'm really quite upset that Honorable Watson is not here, because Honorable Van Rooyen, I beg your pardon. Honorable Van Rooyen is not here because he raised a very important issue regarding the security of loans. But maybe I'll deal with that if he comes back. If he's not coming back, I'll address the committee.
Assume that he's doing for the
committee. He raised the issue of the anchoring of ships. in the area of control and isn't definitely impact. Now, the transit jurisdiction and control over that area is not an issue. It's what they do with that land and sea that is that issue. They can control the mooring of ships. They can control, they can still say, okay, you can park there for so long, it's not going to happen. But when it comes to the environmental impact, remember, on coastal public property, and what happens in that land, that's when DEEP becomes involved. So Transnet can still operate. They can still operate on that level because they're not conducting activities such as, you know, erecting structures. They're not leasing property. They are just controlling the mooring of ships, which who are entitled to pass through our waters. We don't have a restriction on them doing that. But when it comes to the port areas, they have to do more than that. And honorable member pointed out about the dredging. Yes, that's a very serious thing. The dredging activities, and these are all the reasons that we were concerned with. And we had to satisfy ourselves 100% that all our environmental concerns are covered. Now, when it comes to dredging activities, even if it's not on coastal public property, as it stands now, Transnet has to come to the department for permits when they conduct any dredging activity. So if they do maintenance dredging, if they do capital dredging, it was our blessing. They still have to, when there's any excavation or any activities that require an EIA, that still happens. So that's not going to change. That still is in the Act, it's more consolidated in the Act, it's not going to change. But the coastal public property issue and the issue of the area that's involved, sure, we will go and do research on that and try and get that information. I'm not able to answer the global recession impact because I myself am not an economist. But we can try and ascertain that kind of detail from DDE and bring it back to the committee, where we can get the exact impact on all the courts. What we did was, and sure, the committee is entitled to this, but what we are coming with is just the in-principle concept of the exclusion of these critical courts. But sure, it needs to be scrutinized, and we will, and we appreciate that input, and we'll go back and try and get that information so that we have a clear picture of the extent of land and sea involved and the extent of the courts and so forth. There was on the issue of the rationale on how raising capital on an open market is going to be negatively impacted because they already have a good credit rating, lies in Section 11 of the Act. This is what's causing the panic. Section 11 says the ownership of coastal public property vests in the citizens of the Republic, and coastal public property must be held in trust by the state on behalf of the citizens of the Republic. Coastal public property is inalienable, cannot be sold, attached, or acquired by prescription, and rights over it cannot be acquired by prescription. Coastal public property is a drastic concept. If the banks, when they look at this, all they're saying is, Transnet, you don't own this anymore. That's what they're looking at. They're saying, you don't own this land anymore. If you don't own this, how can you expect me to give you money for it? This is the problem that they've been raising. And this is the problem which they've been told to us, is the fact that they get divested of their commercial ownership. And that's where their credit rating and the ability to negotiate on the open market becomes compromised. So the existing stuff is also jeopardized because the banks are going to say, you don't own this anymore, I don't have any security. And tenants are going to say, DEEP can come at any moment and come and pull this out from us, I'm going. That's the reality that they're facing. That's the commercial reality that we're trying to address. DEEP is not insensitive to that, so one has to understand that we're coming here from that background, and I'm hoping that explains somewhat of the dilemma that's facing the members, and I'm truly appreciative that you're raising these questions, because these were the questions we fired at them. We fired at this at them for months, and it was through a series of tough negotiations and tough discussions where we actually came to understand the real problem and actually said, okay, fine. Now, we're not being unreasonable, we understand that there's a real threat that we face. And that's what we'd like the committee to think about.
But how do you answer specifically what you're saying? The threat that threatens Transnet, that they may not be able, to loan money because the land does no longer belong to. How do you answer that specifically so that my mind can grasp that?
What we have to do is we have to say, okay, just on this area, which has always been under your jurisdiction, you've always had it, just on in the port, we're going to exclude that from total public property. So that, now the ownership issue, the bank can no longer have a problem and say you don't own this land anymore. That's really what it's about. So if we exclude it, then Tom can be so free, then the banks will feel comfortable, and the market will feel comfortable that they are still dealing with the owner of the port. And then they can have leases for 99 years, and they will have that security that they're not going to have the Rasul out from another department called Environmental Affairs and Tourism. That's really the real fear here. There were another
other... Can I just want to supplement that? And that means that they will then also be able to sublet to entrepreneurs and service providers, warehousing, etc.
There were some other questions. Rationale for confined, the definition of confined port areas, again, Honorable Conway was talking about the definition of confined port areas. It's already defined because the map gives you the coordinates of the exact areas. So if it's there, that tells you what that confined port area is. It's coordinates, it's got GPRS coordinates written there, and it's got the diagram. So there's no uncertain terms as to what constitutes that port area. So it's not necessary to define it because it's already defined. I'm just trying to think of anything that I'm going to ask. Dr. Mulan reminds me as well that in addition, what has changed with regard to the DPT Transnet from the beginning of the fight with Transnet, what has changed is they have a mechanism by which they can come now in the act to come and have these areas excluded. And they are following the process of that mechanism. That section in Section 27 was put in specifically for this reason. And that's why they're following that process, and we are following that process. And we are satisfied that the legitimate mechanisms that you as Parliament provided for us are being utilized.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Renfrew.
Yeah, so for all of this, we allow the department to give us the information that we release. We may also need the presence of the... Because we have partners, and then we have partners and what the other ones. We also have the NDA. I'm not sure whether that's meters are raising to all the points required in the area for the so we are fully understanding that. Of course, this is the route which says also Parliament should not be able to do when we deal with it. But the point is that we will deal with when we agree to that, that you must just come and then we are saying that's why we are in some situation. So that when we agree, it should be something that also is considered. And the other important point which we also raised that we are in agreement is that we need also to balance with our provincial counterparts, especially those provincial.
Thank you. Honourable Gowden and Honourable Watson.
No, thanks, sir. I just want to take it from where the, one of the control left. Because we passed the airport, of course, section 22. And now we're faced with this kind of a situation where, for obvious reasons, we will have to engage with our provincial legislation, not unless advised otherwise by the Fundamental Legal Services. But as far as we know, that is the process that we will have to undertake. Coupled to that, then comes a very serious challenge for us and, of course, for the department. If you look at the parliamentary program as it is now, the NA will be having their last sitting tomorrow, and the NCOP is on the 19th. And as we know from the experience of the 76 bills that we have at the moment, provinces have already indicated serious problems and threats in relation to the kind of work that members of the, are expected to do in their respective legislatures and also expected of their political parties based on the country or the environment that we are in at this present moment. I don't think that the Honourable Watson is quite comfortable to be sitting in this meeting when in actual fact his constituency is raising serious questions that he should be responding to in order to lay a vote for the Democratic Alliance. So it's a matter that we also have to take into account whether if we will be able, as this committee, to do justice to the challenge that we have before us. And I would therefore propose that, in supporting, of course, not propose, but in supporting for the adjournment, it will also allow us an opportunity. You know, it's just that I'm problematizing this thing now. That's not what I want to do. Let me leave it at that. But that's basically the environment today. And I hope I'm not creating a problem.
Misunderstood. Honorable.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't know what Honorable Levy has just said, and the reply I got to my question when you said that if we do this, it will actually give the right of operation to all the ports and the right subnet and create service providers with their RDs. So how can it only affect some ports? Because that's what you said earlier on when Honourable Levy asked you. Is it only some ports? To me it sounds as if it's all the ports. If I could just say to my honourable friend, we know how to cope, you know.
I'm coping very well with that.
Okay, let's have the DDG.
I hope I can assist. In the diagram, you actually define the port area. If you look at the diagram, every single port area is defined in terms of its port operation. So it includes all the ports and the functioning of the ports, the coming in and out of ships. So that's in relation to every single port. I think I'd like to echo what Honorable Watson said in relation to this committee and the fact that this committee actually stands in the process. We're now bringing that process to the committee for consideration. In terms of the provincial mandate and the adjournment, obviously the committee will have to decide on it. But I just see the committee to think about the fact that this is the process that this committee is in fact leading. We are now following that process that the committee has agreed.
Well, that is understood, but I think members have raised issues that cannot allow us, you know, to conclude today. But as my colleague has also raised the question of the time in which we are operating, I don't know how we're doing that. He was saying we will be meeting lastly on the 19th
of March.
Of March. Is it March? Yeah. Okay, which means this committee could still be able to look at the matter. How, I don't know, but it's something that has to be looked into.
Just a plenary, okay.
Just a plenary.
Yeah. Not program for committee. That's a plenary.
Well, I'm saying that if maybe a request is made for a committee, I don't know, it will depend on the members whether they will be able to avail themselves. But it depends. That's here, Honorable Council.
Yeah, because I'm not sure whether it's appropriate for all of us to sit here and try to find the process in relation to the process. If I understand the matter in respect to the committee by the chairperson of the institution, which then by implication is that the committee is expected to do work and support back to the institution as far as I understand. But it will do us good to attend the meeting and look into those processes outside the meeting. But for leadership of the committee, which is yourself and the chairperson, there are other role players in the institution who can look into that. How we process the process. But our chairperson is responsible for committees to can consult and try to get a schedule to keep with and so on. So that we don't sit here. The other issue which the Honorable Dow was raising, I'm not saying you should have that I don't care kind of attitude, but I think also the department, it was supposed to its own responsibility to look at the parliamentary program, because the NA is rising. We will try to do our part here, because your parliamentary liaison officer may be make a special exceptional arrangement for the NA to come back and deal with that. I think it can be looked at in other areas. But I don't see us, all of us sitting and trying to crack our heads to agree on that problem. But for the level of possibility to do that.
Thank you very much. I think so far we have listened to the department. The department has listened to what the committee is saying, and we look forward how will things unfold so that we are able to conclude. We will do the necessary consultations and so on and see what is feasible. Then we lie with your lies in fact. The BDG.
Just from our perspective, if there's any way that we can assist, our concern is if this goes into the next process, we're going to have to start this all over again.
Yeah.
At least this committee has an understanding of the issue. And I think our concern is we have to start the process again and try explaining this, you know, from the beginning. And that's why I think we need to get to this. But I mean, from our side.
On a point of order. I just want to find out if DG or DDG,
yes,
is he part of the list process? It seems to be knowing something.
Yeah.
I wish I was. I really wish I was. But yeah, in terms of how we work with the committee in the past, in terms of assisting the committee in whatever way possible, we'll do whatever is necessary in terms of getting whatever information is necessary to the committee so we can wrap this up hopefully before we finally arrive. From our side, we're just putting that on the table that we'll do whatever it needs. Whatever the honorable members
bring this number five.
Wonderful. What?
Before we go, I think we must say thank you for the hiring that we got here. It's a bit late in the year, you know, it's already February. So next year, maybe the cash instead of the late hiring.
Okay. Okay, let's take it from there then. We have got something to conclude. We have minutes to look at. But otherwise, we'll see what could be done in the remaining days. Oh, and I don't know. I don't want to commit myself, but we will liaise with the appropriate people and see what is possible. Let us thank you then for explaining all this. It has not been very easy, but your efforts make us really to have a grip of what you are trying to sell out to us. We realize how important it is so that we don't include and exclude, but that we come up with legislation that really will save our future for the better. Thank you very much, Department. We have a minute to take we have the minutes of the 3rd of February.
Here, what I'm on.
The minutes of the 3rd of February. You have a minute on the weapon?
Yes,
you have one.
Well,
you're not here.
What are we going for?
No, my apologies. It wasn't
destiny. Okay. Okay.
Where are the minutes? Honor Matanyan?
Chairperson, I will propose that we adopt the minutes.
Come in, Honorable.
On page 2, I said in terms of point number 9, I said my assumption is that KwaZulu-Natal supports that. I will wait for the final voting money from the government. Because I said, in terms of what they were saying, they said they don't convey the voting money because the document that they referred to was not signed by the government. So I said I will still wait for the final voting money, of which probably it has gone through the office of the chairperson, because I don't have the copy of the voting money.
Okay. Honorable, okay.
Yeah, because in mine is somewhat personal, you know, doesn't keep on message, I feel open that they are considering the exclusion of my name from the minute. Every time I know the minute, I mean, the meeting, I raised this issue that my name is not included. I thought it was in place, but now I don't think this is in place anymore. And even next week, you indicated your unhappiness about the apologies that come to business. And I just received my apology with the subpoena that I have to appear in front of the year. I was just talking to Laura, but also he did receive the apology, but it was not indicated. Neither my name in the list of people who are present and also those who are absent.
Okay.
And it's happening again here. You know, it's simply from propaganda by the chairperson and the team is also good. I'm not having to listen, I'm also not apologizing.
Wow. My mistake. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay, the secretary is apologizing. We hope this won't happen again in the future. Honorable Benson?
Yeah, the secretary must apologize to the honorable member, not to whisper the apology.
Okay, I thought.
Because the member was offended. But Jefferson, you know, I think that the thing with my area for food and party. You see, also this issue of how members are doing for the fact. You see, page 2, it just says that the ONC is supported by Adam Kerr. But the parliamentary community, where the service members, you also go back on page 3, stating the process. And also, Chair, if you can also try to link up with the people who provide computers so that they can provide a Y2K computer for whoever is writing with me for my selling from the recent forest. I know in some of the minutes that it seems justified as an alternative, but it's not a problem. My view is that once was made through amendment.
Okay.
Proposed that the minister.
Honorable Venfor is proposing any seconder? Seconded by Honorable Kau. So. Yeah, maybe we should apologize really to the member.
Mr. Kaledis, my humblest apologies for all the things you
know. Is it accepted? Because we all don't have anything. Honor members, let me have your viewpoint about this ratification that was in front of us.
Yeah.
How are you advising me? We're taking the matter up with the chief whip, with the chairperson. But is there a likelihood that it can still come before this committee or not? You know, let me not operate not having been informed by your view.
Yeah, also the other. No. I support you. You need that. But I think also from our side, you need that. That also the minister, for that.
Okay, that is okay.
And also importing fuel and stuff and so on.
cut the ending goes after some of the things without the I couldn't get much information and detail. So of course, deep is only given to the government to cut things.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying that maybe sometimes it's something that's on it.
Well, so the NA will be dealing with the matter today, after far, obviously, who will be informed how did they go about it and so on. But I will take up the matter and see what the time in which we are now operating, so setting. But that's that. You'll be kept informed. That's your honor.
Okay, I remember this one. I just want to tell you on that if this has been referred to us by the chairperson, and in fact, as was said, as it has been recorded in the ABC, I just don't understand the message you brought back from the chief of somewhere along the line there's a breakdown in communication. I think that should be investigated.
Yeah, obviously that's something that will go in, you know, and we'll try to get those documentation that the proper procedures were followed and see how we are unblocked.
But I think if it has been researched, we must try and conclude.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Honourable.
Can I propose that the members who serve in a program committee tomorrow, if they can raise this issue to allow the committee wants to finalize this or whatever, if they can raise that in the program committee meeting based on the decision that was taken by that program committee meeting. I'm talking if I want to talk about
it. Who's serving in the program committee?
Honorable Watson, Honorable Matanyan.
Okay. To look into that. Honorable,
Chair, in fact, I support that the members can also raise the matter. But you received a letter from the chair, which was telling
you. No, I haven't received it.
No?
No, I haven't.
But
because I
mean, listen to the chair.
Yeah, I haven't received it. That's why I'm not informed in the matter.
Yeah, but my point. How
did
it come that
we didn't see it? Well, I was phoned while I was out there.
Why?
By the secretary, and I was phoned also by Mr. Durand. And I said they must take the matter up with the secretary because he knows how the program is about.
Okay. And then, that's fine, sir. You'll see, I'll file the operations of Parliament.
Well, he always interferes.
Because where is he from?
Mm.
And then he disappeared. Mm. The lady they were saying I thought someone would take and make a photo of that. But then you have a letter from the chair of the NGOT.
To say the committee.
Referring it to the committee.
No.
There was also a reference of the ATC.
Yes.
What was the ATC saying?
Mm.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yes, I can get a copy.
Because then if the ATC is referring the matter to you as the chair of the committee, or the answer of our committee to use the matter, you will then have to revert back to the chair to say, given the decision of the problem committee of the problem solver. Clarification should then be given because that decision, Honorable Osman was saying only committees with priority legislation. And this is not priority legislation, it's a ratification. But it might also have certain implications in the country. Unfortunately, some of the other things they couldn't come clearly open. That's why I'm saying at a certain point you need also to allow the statute to reflect on the matter and so on. But whatever it is, it should not allow for any unnecessary things to be taken, which might be negative.
in terms of the outcomes in the country or any other port. That's my view, Chairperson. So that maybe some footwork needs to be done even prior to the program going before the program.
Okay.
And if you also see how much it raises, we come here and we get a pack like this, and we expect you to contribute to a meeting. To me, that is really counterproductive. We have to quickly, if it hadn't been for the fact that the meeting started late, I wouldn't have known about any of this documentation. So they would have smeared honey all over us.
But also, the unfortunate part of it is that this committee don't have budget. All committees in fact, that budget is also set.
Then how can we work if we don't have a budget?
I don't know.
Then we need to know.
But the matter has been referred to the chairperson as well, and also to the secretary of parliament.
I'm hearing the committee saying I should try to organize a study group even before the program committee says. Is it possible for me?
Before it says tomorrow.
Yeah. Which means it's a joint study group, I learned. Am I correct?
Is it going to be possible?
Is it going
to
be possible?
That's a good question.
We
could try that. Should we try that after plenary?
Yeah. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. I'm sorry. You wanted me to say something?
I just wanted to ask, I don't know if I was lying in talking about things, but I was wondering whether we should not ask the department to give us a breakdown of what it's going to cost the Port Authority or Transnet or whatever if this is not ratified. Because my understanding is that it's actually not about anything else except about operations.
Yes.
And if we're inhibiting operations, we're inhibiting the country, we're inhibiting infrastructure, economic development, job creation, that's my concern. Maybe we should just ask them to table to us the implications of, in terms of monetary implications, economic implications of what it will mean if we don't, because my understanding is the act is gone and this is just the exclusion, it's just going concurrently. So it's not an amendment, it's not anything. That is why my recommendation was to support it, because it just makes operational sense for this to happen the way it's happening. But what if there is, if we wait for the next sitting or next whatever, that the country loses money as a result of the exclusions not going through. Yeah, that's just my concern.
Yeah, I think just to cover your concern, you see, like as I was saying earlier on in the meeting, we want to pass this request, but the thing, we can't just pass it like for the, that's my point. You see, we need to get what entails and so on. But very soon, we'll be getting a request for including nuclear VNA and so on, stuff, other areas and the like. And once you start setting a precedent that you don't have checks and balances so far, it may have implications for your future system. Because right now, the National Port Authority is still functional there. Your port names, they are still functional. No one is holding them not to operate. But the thing we wanted to get, because somewhere they say motivation of their request. One, you only make a request for an extension by Parliament if it's 20 years leave in port. That's the information we want. Where are these 20 years in port are affected? Where they say some of the contracts might be called up, which ports are those, what amount of contracts. So all those are stuff we just want to get, then we will allow the application to get and so on. So it's not a measure that we want to take an ending, we want to object, but let's have that information so that if there are certain impacts, like the question the Honorable Oliphant was raising, in one port there is a move to expand. And if we now only exclude a smaller area, yes, and later very soon you will get another request for application, why don't we do that bigger area which was in the map? Those are some of the areas which will come into our land.
Otherwise, we try that and we liaise with the members. Thank you very much. We thought this would be short, but it was not. I thought this is a statement.